So we're here on Daf Kuf Aleph. If you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom of the page. Oshma, if you're trying to figure out whether or not the samamonim, the dye of the that was extracted from these samamonim, exists, it's still in the world even after you dyed the wool, so you should take a look at a Mishnah in Arla. The din of Arla applies as an Isra Achila and an Isra Anah, we'll soon see, not only to the fruit, the part of the fruit that you eat, but even to the peels that surround the fruit, the klipei arla. The din of arla, however, does not apply to wood, to eitzim. And Rashi goes out of his way to point this out here. If you take a look about 8 lines up from the bottom, but klipei arla, klipei agozim, oshar peris, aval klipos ha'eitz, the bark of the tree, lo, that doesn't have the Isur Arla, the status of Arla. The Ein Arla Elibit Peros. Arla only applies to Peros. Now, if you're interested, it's not for us today, but when does the Shem Pri emerge? And that's called Smadar. Right? So, I'm sorry, that's called Bosar. I made a mistake. Did I say smother? So I'm sorry. When does the Shem Eitz still apply? And when does the Shem Pri? So as long as it is called smother, it is called Eitz. Okay.
And
I don't know. These are terms from Zeroim. You know, you have to know, you have to ask the agriculturalists, the botanists. In any way, there's something halachically, it's an entity called smother. And then there's something called Bosar. When it hits Bosar, that's when it's called a Pri. And at that point, it's us. And that becomes Arla. The Klipa develops much later on. And the Klipa itself could be used to extract a dye. So the Mishnah in Arla wants to know what happens if you extracted a dye from the peels around a fruit that is Arla, and what's the status of the wool or the garment that you have that now has within it absorbed the dye from Arla. And the Mishnah establishes Yidolek. In other words, the din, the status of Arla is Nisrafim. Well, that's a Mishnah in Temura. And since the beged has now absorbed arla in it, in the form of a dye, in the form of a color, you have to treat the beged as if it's arla, because the arla is in the beged. And the Gemara wants to use this as a proof. Alma chazusa milsahi. We see that the dye still represents the arla itself. And it's not that the arla is gone; it's out of this world and its history. No. The oil is still very much alive and well. In what form? In the form of a dye. And that's called chazusa milsahi. You know, if that be the case, you might have a tremendous kula in the case of a gazlan. If a gazlan steals some amonim, and he converts that some amonim into a dye, and then he soaks the wool in the dye, he might be able to return the wool. And in that sense, he's returned the dye itself, correct? Because if we assume that there's an Isur Arla in this beged because it has within it the dye, then in the case of a gazlan, he could be able to return the beged or the tzemer, and he, insofar as the dye is still in the beged, he's giving back the dye to the owner of the nigzal from whom the dye was stolen. Amar Rava, Hano Hanira Leinayim Osrit Torah. When it comes to Arla, we don't raise the question as to whether or not the Be'en of the Arla is something that he's benefiting from. Does he have benefit from the actual Arla itself, but rather he could benefit from what's called Hana Hanirale Naim, and that too constitutes an Isra Hana. What's Hana Hanirale Naim? So Rashi says, about 5 lines up from the bottom, 6 lines up, he says, Mara bi Alma. That here in this case of Arla, the Torah considers Hanas Mara to be considered a Hana for the violation of Hana in Arla. Afalpi, She'ein bo mamish. Even though the tangible part of the arla, in this case the klipi arla, is gone, but nevertheless, what he's benefiting from is the hana nirale naim. It sounds like Rashi is setting up arla as a very unique category in which the Torah prohibited a category of hana that normally would not fit and fill the requirements of Isuri Anah. When you want to say that you violate an Isuri Anah, you have a chefetz, you have an object that's Osir Banah, and you're getting benefit from that object.
Can you look at a beautiful fruit tree in its third year and say, oh, those fruits are beautiful, you're getting Anah?
So let's think for a moment, Midge, what does Rashi mean when he says in the last 3 words, Kigon Ner Vitzeva? Now, if Rashi had mentioned Seva alone, then Rashi's talking about the category of dyeing something which came from Arla. But Rashi adds here a Ner. And this Ner came from Arla. What does that mean, the Ner came from Arla? And why did Rashi feel that he should add it here to the discussion in the Gemara? The Gemara's discussing not Ner, but rather Tseva. So in order to appreciate that Rashi, and then hopefully we'll be able to answer your question, let's read the Braisa. Rava supports himself with the following Braisa. This Sanya. Now here, Rava is darshaning a pasuk in Vayikra Yutes, in Parshas Kedoshim. Let's read the whole pasuk. If you might have it in the Torah, or if you have, v'chisavo el ha'aretz u'netatem kol eitz machol, and then it says, look at this, varaltem arloso espirio shel shonim yelachem arelim lo yeochel. So how many times does Arla appear here in the pasuk? 3 times. So the Braisa is going to generate 3 categories or classifications of Isurei Hanah in Arla. Number one, the Braisa says, "Harelim lo yeachel ein li ela iser achila." What's explicit in the pasuk is you're not allowed to eat arla. So if somebody eats arla, if the arla grew in Eretz Yisrael, because the pasuk says kisavo ela aretz, then he gets malchus for that. What happens if somebody eats arla from chutz laretz? So he violates an iser doraisa because arla midin halacha Moshe v'Sinai applies even in Chutz Laretz, but he doesn't get Malkus, because for a Halacha Moshe v'Sinai violation, you don't get Malkus. Hana minayin shlo yehena mimenu, but how do I know? I mean, the Torah says lo yachel. Now, it's very interesting, because I mentioned to you last time, if anybody remembers, that the Sugya in Pesachim establishes that whenever it says lo yachel, Echad Isra Achilu v'Echad Isra Anah b'mashma. So the Braisa here is asking a very odd kind of question. Ein li ela Isra Achilu minayin shel yehena mimenu. I might have thought that there's no Isra Anah. Now how could I come to that mistaken conclusion when the Torah says lo yeachel? Lo yeachel includes even Anah. And this is the very famous, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's quite famous in the yeshiva world. The Nekuda Nifla, the Rambam. There's a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in Hilchos Krisus. He basically says that you don't apply Iser Mosif, right? We have a principle called Ein Iser Chal Iser, but if the exception to that rule is an Iser Mosif, so let's say the first Iser is only Osir Bachila, and the second Iser is Osir Banah, so you and I would have said that's called an Iser Mosif. And therefore the second Iser is Chal on the first Iser. The Rambam says, no, it's not an Iser Mosif. Why? Because Hana is just another form of Achila. That's the Nakud and the flaw of the Rambam. And here, the reason why apparently we have a Havamina that Hano was not prohibited in Arla. Let me read the pasuk again. It says, "Varaltem arlos aspirio shalosh shanim yelachem arelim lo yeochel." Now, as a general rule, this is going to be the exception to the rule. The word lachem means shalachem. Shalachem means that you can have benefit from it. So, for example, in the parsha of Chodesh, the Yisr Chodesh, it says lachem yeh, and therefore the Gemara says the Chodesh is mutar b'ano, it's only also b'achila. And you go through the Sugyim Psachim, the whole list of all cases where it says lachem, and therefore it's mutar b'ano. For example, soon we're going to learn about Shvius. In Shvius it also says lachem, and therefore Shvius is mutar b'ano. The question is, what kind of hano? But fundamentally, Shvius is mutar b'ano, it's also b'achila in certain cases. So there was a havamina there for that all is only aser bit achila, not ba'ano, because the Torah says lachem. Kamash v'lan, this price wants to derive from the extra word arelim, because it says in the pasuk v'araltem or los arelim lo yeochel. That's coming to expand the iser achila to include also to generate an iser hano. So, for example, if I had pairs of arla, would I be allowed to sell it to a guy? Would I be allowed to feed it to my animal? Would I be allowed to even give it as a gift to a guy? Even that's considered a tovus hanoa. Yeah, Michael?
You said lo ye'elchem meant also including hanoa. So you've got a steer actually in the posse. Because
right.
You've got lochem on one side and ye'elchem on the other side.
Right.
How do you know what to do?
So the answer is the extra word arelim. Notes, if not for the extra word arelim, we would know what to do. We would come to the conclusion that lachem is setting up lo yeochel as an isra achil without an isra hano. For that, we need the extra word arelim. So that's the Gemara Pesachim. If you ever get a chance, it's a very famous sugi of Chizkiyah Rabbi Avot about isra hano. It's strange that amongst all the mesechtas and shas, the mesechta that is almost singled out as the mesechta of isra hano is Pesachim. And that's because chametz is also b'ano. So from chametz, the Gemara jumps off into a universal discussion about isurei hano. Now, keep in mind, we've only accounted for one of the three times that it says arl in this pasuk. We have another two occasions where it says arl in the same pasuk. So the Braisa says, how do you know that it's forbidden to take peros of arla? Or let's say more specifically, klipei peros arla, and use them as a dye. And the Gemara is going to say that the derivation to establish that you're not allowed to take klipei arla and use them as a dye, that halacha requires another pasuk. It's not intuitively logical. And that's what the Braisa says, that Talmud Lomar Varaltem, right, that's the extra word Varaltem, we need it for Isra Hano, but we also need Arlaso. Arlaso is going to tell me that you can't use Klipe Arla as a dye. So Tosa says that the very fact that we need an extra pasuk here in the parish of Arla to teach me that you're not allowed to dye your clothing with Klipe Arla, that itself proves that the status of dye is not the heft of Arla itself, it's not the pre. If the dye is a representative, if you will, a tangible representative of the pre, then why do I need an extra pasuk here, Varaltim Arlaso, to teach me that you're not allowed to dye your clothing with Klipe Arla? Obviously you can't do so, because the Arla is in existence, right? We still have the Arla, albeit in a different form, as a dye.
It's not an extra pasuk, it's extra words.
Extra word, I'm sorry. When I say pasuk, I mean a word. Oh, yeah, you'll get, Michael, if you hang around with me, you'll get used to my lingo. You know, whenever I say a pasuk, I mean a word in a pasuk. Okay. So it's very odd, because on the one hand, Rava is going to establish that Arla is the exception to the rule. The rule is that chazusa lav milsa, that we don't see a tangible representation, if you will, of the original dye of the samamonim in the object that's been dyed, in this case the garment or the wool, in the case of the gazlan. We do not see so. Correct? Why in Orla then, why is it the beged that was dyed with klipe Orla needs hadlaka? Says Rava, because Orla is the exception to the rule. It's very strange. I mean, Adarava, if Rava wants to establish that chazusa lav milsa, right, instead of saying Alma, we see from Arla that chazusa milsa, and then go ahead and say no, there's no proof that even if, right, as Rashi says, Hanira Leinayim Ein Bo Mamish, nevertheless Arla is different because Arla comes under a new category, and that's based on the specialty Alfusa and Arla. Adarava, says Tosus, why didn't Rava prove from the Bryce of Arla just the opposite? Instead of quoting Toshma, I'm going to prove to you Alma Chazusa Milsahi, Rava should have said, Alma, I have a Toshma to prove to you Chazusa Lav Milsahi. Why? What justifies the extra word? I'll use Michael's term. I would have said an extra pasuk. But the extra word in this pasuk to teach me that you're not allowed to die with Klipe Arla if you're assuming that Chazusa Milsahi. There's no justification for the extra word. So Tosus pulls a fast one here. A very interesting move. He says that whenever we have to derive universal conclusions from one particular case, we're always in doubt. And there are two possibilities, and we never know which of the two possibilities are correct. One possibility, one methodology says, well, why do we need the extra pasuk? And from the fact that we need the extra pasuk, that teaches me that the universal rule is just the opposite. In other words, my premise before I had the extra word for our lasso was that chazusa lav milsi. That's one methodology. But I'm always confused because there's another possible methodology to say the exact opposite. That what? That the very fact that we have the extra pasuk is coming to establish a universal principle. In other words, not that Arla becomes the exception to the rule, but rather it becomes the rule itself. What's that called in two words? All of the Shas, what's that called? A binyan av. Let's use and classify Arla as a binyan av. So I never know. Whenever there's an extra pasuk in a particular context, is that telling me that A, the universal rule would be just the opposite, but here, in this context, there's an extra pasuk, and therefore it's the exception to the rule? Or do I say no? That the very fact that the Torah established this law in that context, based on an extra pasuk, that itself establishes a binyan av, a rule for Kol HaTorah Kula. Initially, what Rava employed was the latter method. His methodology was, well, the very fact that in Arla, you see that you're also to be nene from Klipe Arla in the case of a dye, that proves the chazusa milsahi. At that point in his logic, Rava was not asking the question, well, why is there an extra pasuk? That wasn't on his agenda. He was looking at the halach in Arla, and the Mishnah states in Arla that you're not allowed to have hanoah from the garment that has absorbed the dye, is that therefore we must conclude that chazusa milsi, that it's a davar sheyesh bo mamish. However, when we get into the brice itself, here Tosfos says we can go in one or two directions, and we really don't know in its final conclusion which methodology we should apply. We're stuck in the air. We're in the dark, so to speak. We don't know whether to say, well, the very fact that the Torah needed a special pasuk in Arla means that universally the rule is that chazusa lav milsahi, it's ein bo mamish, or should we apply the opposite conclusion and say from the very fact that the Torah engendered especially alfusa to teach me that you're also in the beged, because that beged now represents the Arla itself, the klipe Arla are inherent in the beged, that should establish a universal principle and call it Torah kula de chazusa milsahi. And we can never really come to any conclusion. And basically, when Rava signs off here, the Toshma ends up in unsuccessful. But again, please understand, it doesn't mean that there is no answer to our question. It could be that the answer lies in Arla, and that mission in Arla really answers and establishes the Chazusa Milsa, but we'll never know the difference. That's the sheet of Tosfos. We'll never come to any absolute binding conclusion, and therefore the Tashma of Rava fails. It's an aborted experiment, but we simply don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe Arla is the exception to the rule, maybe Arla is the rule. That's Tosfos. Now you may know that on Masechta Bava Kama there's another Tosfos. It's called Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. And Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz is not happy with this Tosfos. He feels that the final conclusion of the Gemara is that Arla is the exception to the rule rather than the rule. That although Rava initially thought Alma Chazusa Milsahi, at the end of the day, Rava's conclusion was that Chazusa Lav Milsahi. And Dafka from Arla. Because Arla is the exception to the rule. And although Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz doesn't say the next sentence, that's mine, but I think that's what he has in mind. Again, you'll have to go through Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and decide whether you like what I'm going to say. But I think that Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz derived his conclusion from one extra word in Rashi. Let's go back to the Rashi. Rashi says, Hanira le'nayim, mara bi'alma, afal pisha ein bo mamish, kigon. Now I'm going to rewrite Rashi just for pedagogical reasons. Kigon tseva. That's not what it says in Rashi. What it does say in Rashi is kigon ner v'tseva. So to appreciate the extra word ner, we go back to the Braisa. The Braisa now has covered two out of the three of the Arlas, right, in the Pasuk. We've got the Arelim, we've got the Aralta, but there's a third Arla in the Pasuk. And the Braisa says, V'lo yadlik bo es aner. No, I mean, minayin shalo yad... I'm adding a word to the price. Right? Minayin shalo yadlik bo es aner. How do you know that you can't use Arla as fuel for a fire? For example, let's say I take zeisim and I make it into shemen, and I want to use that shemen as combustible material to light my fire. Right? Talmud lomar, v'araltim, etc., etc. I have a third extra word in the pasuk. Rashi presents what I call a very sharp move. You know, in basketball we talk about a move, right? This is a move that Rashi, every sport has its move, right? Says Rashi, the key to understand the mystery of dying in the case of Tsevashal Arla, Klipi Arla, lies in the Ner, in the case of Minayin Shlo Yadlik Bo Asaner. In other words, I might have said, if I only had one extra pasuk, when I say one extra, I mean, we've already established the Isra Ano, right? So that one, now we're moving on to level number two. And that's the level of Tseva. So Rashi is telling us that if we only add level number two, namely Tseva, then that could serve as a binyanav. That could establish that Chazusa Milsa. And the pasuk should not be seen as establishing the exception to the rule, but rather the rule itself. Says Rashi Nein. It's wrong. Arla is the exception to the rule. And why? Because the din of Tseva is a subcategory. It's an extension of the din of Ner. And Rashi defines the breakthrough of Ner as called what? In Rava's language, Hana? Hanira Leinayim. Does it say Hanira Leinayim? Okay. Hana Hanira Leinayim. Rashi is saying that, you know what, you could have derived from Tseva itself a gevaldige chiddush that would have implications in Kol HaTorah Kula, that Tseva is a Dover Sheyesh Bo Mamish, which we call Chazusa Milsi. Says Rashi, no, you have no right to derive that. Because I'm going to prove to you, says Rashi, that Arla is the exception to the rule rather than the rule. It's almost as if Rashi was addressing Tosis's problem. Tosis came to the conclusion that we don't know. We have two methodologies. do we define Arl as the exception to the rule, or is it setting the rule universally? Says Rashi, name, it's not true. I'll prove to you that Arl is the exception to the rule, because we have a new definition, an expanded definition. I call it the, you know, the generating, like it's a pregnancy, you know, it's an Ibur kind of thing. We're really expanding our scope and our definition of Hana with regard to Arl. Because there's no question about it that in Kol HaTorah Kula, Re'iya, meaning Hana Anir Leinayim, would not constitute Hana. The only exception to that rule before Arla would have been Hegdesh. In Hegdesh, there's a special pasuk from which we derive that you're not allowed to enjoy benefits of Re'iya from Hegdesh. I think I mentioned to you once, did I not mention to you the Gemara in Pesachim? Again, because that's the sugya of Hana. The Gemara wants to know if the workers who have to fix up the Kodesh Kadoshim are allowed to enjoy the benefit of, and the beauty, and the splendor of the Kodesh Kadoshim. And the Gemara says they're not allowed to do so. So what do? They lowered them in a basket, you know, in such a way that there were like little holes in the basket. Like I once got a heter from one of the mashgichim in my yeshiva. I learned when I was 19 years old that I had something in my eye, so I wanted to look in a mirror. So he says, okay, you know what you do? You take a paper bag, you cut out two holes, put it over your head, and you're allowed to look in the mirror. Okay, that was a big cooler. In any event, so the Gemara says that the big hula for the workers in the Kodesh Kadoshim is that we're going to lower them in this thing, and then they'll look only at that point. You know, they're going to, in the pulley system, we'll circulate them in such a way that they can work on what they have to work on, but they won't enjoy the splendor and the re'iyah of this. It would seem, and I think, if I'm reading Rashi correctly, Rashi is addressing Mitch's question before, that Arla is now being put into a brand new category. And that is Hana Hanira La'enayim. Hanira La'enayim. What does that mean? You are seeing something. Now again, if not for Rashi, I would have told you the following. Seva is one category, and Hadlokas Haner is another category. That's what I would have said without Rashi. Horaya, we have two different psukim. We got one pasuk to tell me Seva, another pasuk to tell me Hadlokas Haner. In fact, according to Rashi, I would raise the question, once we have Hadlokas Haner, which breaks through to Hana Anira Leinayim, then for sure Tseva is Hana Anira Leinayim. What was the Havim? You know, why do I need another pasuk for that? Oh, the answer is because, you know, if you only have one pasuk, you take it for the lesser Chiddush. You don't expand it to the greater Chiddush. But again, if not for Rashi, I would have told you that Tseva and Ner are two separate halachas. What's the Chiddush of Hadlokas? What's the Chiddush of Tseva? The Chiddush of Hadlokas is that even though I enjoy the benefit of the Hadlokas when the Arla, what's happening to the Arla at that moment? It's going up in smoke, right, so to speak. I'm just using that phrase, if everybody's on board with me on that phrase. And therefore, you cannot say that my Anah comes from the Chafetz itself, right? Because where is the Chafetz? The part of the Chafetz that's still intact, I'm not benefiting from. The part that I'm benefiting from is the combustible part, the combusted part that's going up in smoke. So that's called Hana B'Dovash Yesh Lo Kilui. You familiar with the word Kilui? Kola. Kola means Chaf Lamed Hey. So if it's Hana Sheyesh Bo Kilui, I don't know if that's included in the Yisra Hana. And the answer is that if not for Rashi, that once the extra pasuk in Hadlokas Haner in Orla comes to teach me that even though it's Hana Sheyesh Bo Kilui, it's still prohibited, that's the category of Hadlok. In the case of Tseva, we're not saying that when I enjoy the benefit of the Tseva, the object is going up in smoke, it's not combustible. Here we have to ask a different question, whether or not the Hana's Tseva is related to the Chafetz itself. Every Hana requires what I call a Netilas Hana. Netilas Hana means I have to take the Hana with me. The Gemara wants to know, in Masechta Pesachim, if I pass Avodah Zorah, and in the Avodah Zorah they're putting their Avodah Zorah on incense, can I enjoy the smell of the incense as I walk by? And the Gemara goes back and forth as to whether or not that's called Netilas Hana, because maybe what happens is the Reach just goes into your body, you're totally passive, you didn't take the reach, well, that no is reach, and therefore it's not asur v'ano. Or do we say no? Right? You gotta take an intake of breath, and that's when you smell it and you enjoy the benefits. So the question is how to be magdir, how to define an etilas hana. In the case of tsefa, I don't know if that's called an etilas hana. It's true that the beged itself has absorbed the tsefa, but now when I wear the beged, is that considered that I'm taking the hana's tsefa as an active etilas hana? I don't know. So the Gemara says that we have one pasuk for tseva, and that's going to tell me that tseva is considered netilas hana. We have another pasuk for hadlaka, which tells me that that's considered a hana despite the kilui hachefetz. But Rashi's not happy with that. And the reason why Rashi's not happy in that, because he used medayik heite beloshen Rava. Rava said that the reason why we cannot derive conclusions about Chazusa Milsa from Orla is because Hana Anir Leinayim Shiny. So Rashi understood that basically Rava was predicating his argument and his logical conclusion on Ner, and he understood Ner not as a separate category the way we did, is because it's Hana Sheish Bakilui, but rather he understood that Ner is Hana Shel Re'ia. And we don't know if Re'iyah is considered an Isra Anah. And the answer is that in all of the Torah's Mechadish, that Re'iyah is also considered Anah. Says Rashi, Oy Bazoi, if this is correct, then even Tseva is considered Anah, Sheesh Bar Re'iyah, Say Naim. Is Memela, says Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz. The final conclusion of Rava is that Ein Echinami universally, Chazus Olav Milsi. You have a Raya from Orla? On the contrary, Orla is the exception to the rule. I'm not going to say that you are Nene from the Chafetz itself. I'm going to say that you're Nene from the Re'iyah of the Chafetz. And how do you know, Rava, that Hana from Re'iyah in Orla is Asura? And the answer is because we have a third Pasuk. That third Pasuk of Adloka Saner teaches me this new breakthrough definition, the expansion of Hana to include any Hana Anira Leinayim. Oh! Once you've redefined the nature and the scope of the Isra Hana and Orla to Hana and Nir Leinayim, is Memele Tseva is also Hana and Nir Leinayim. That's what I think Rashi means when he says Mara bi Alma, when you enjoy the benefit of either A, the Ner and the light coming from the Ner, or B, the Tseva in the Beged. In both cases, Rashi says Af al Pishein bo Mamish. This is not a Hana according to the universal definition of Hana that applies to Kol Torah Kula. And therefore, for example, if Basar B'Cholov is also Hana, there will be no Iser Re'iya Sainayim in Basar B'Cholov, not in Seva, nor in Hadloka. So again, I don't know, don't ask me if you can take Basar B'Cholov and make it into a Tseva. Don't ask me if you can take Basar B'Cholov and make it into a fuel. But let's assume you could, right? In some universe you could do it. It would be mutter. That would not be a violation of the Isra Hana. Why? Because Hana Nir Leinayim Lav Shmei Hana. Where is it considered Hana? Only in Arla. And how do we know that? Because the Torah gave me two extra psukim. One pasuk I would have taken for a more limited chiddush, but once I have the second pasuk, I have to take it beyond that chiddush and redefine it as a Hana Nir Leinayim Kigon, Rashi says, Ner Vitseva.
If generally speaking, the accepted rule is then that Nir Leinayim is not a Hana, then what they do with Nir Shabbos, what's the Rashi with Nir Shabbos?
Well, again, it depends what you mean by Hana. This Hana is Haguf, and this Hana that relates to the Chafetz, which is the source of the Hana. When we're talking in our discussion here about whether Nir Leinayim is called Hana, we're talking about a Hana that has to relate to the Chafetz. When we're talking about Ner Shabbos, there's no din that I have to be Nene and take something from the Chafetz. When the Torah prohibits an object by Hana, then I'm not allowed to take that Hana from the Chafetz. When it comes to Ner Shabbos, what I have to do is my action to create Onik Shabbos. But the Onik Shabbos is my benefit. Again, I don't want to use Kavra Chefza here, but those who are up on that will know what I mean. And the question is, did I do what I had to do in order to benefit my Shabbos? Meaning that I can see in this room on Leil Shabbos, you know, where is this and where is that? You know, because if the lights are off, what happens? I don't know, I haven't been to Bat Yam. Where is it? In Bat Yam? The Museum of the Blind. But what I could imagine is, I haven't been to that museum yet, although it's really on my agenda. Because, you know, in Israel, we're always looking for things to do. And, you know, it's like hot. I don't know, in America, like, America's like the land of amusements. It's like wild. Like, you know, you take a step and they hit you with another amusement. Of course, they charge you for it. It's not free. But what I imagine is, if the lights are off, what happens is that you walk into something, right? And then you go further and you walk into something else. Like, you don't even know that everything has its place and everything actually functions. So that's the opposite of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis means when everything has a recognizable function and it contributes to a whole. But it's amazing because, you know, if you have this dark room, and everything is just a stumbling, it's an obstacle, and then all of a sudden you turn on the lights, right, not on Shabbos obviously, but you turn on the lights, and all of a sudden everything is in its place. This is a table, and this is a chair, and this is a shtender, and this is a sefer, and so everything has its function. That's called shalom. Shalom means when everything has a function.
Maybe for Hanukkah you could also learn out that you're allowed to enjoy the Hanukkiah, the Mar'eh of the Chanukiah.
I would assume yes, absolutely. But actually, I just rethought it. The Baal HaMor says something fascinating. Now, we don't pasken like the Baal HaMor, but it's an unbelievable chiddush. Rabbo says, okay, if I get off on a tangent, when is Chanukah? It's in a week and a half, no? Okay.
Week from Motzi Shabbos.
Oh, the Baal HaMor says, big chiddush. I think the Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha paskens against the Baal HaMor. I'm pretty sure the Baal HaMor says that I cannot use Ner Chanukah with Tzorech Mitzvah. Now keep in mind that normally the universal rule with regard to a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah is that I can't use a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, as long as it's, you know, fulfilling its function, for my own Hanof, my own benefit. Right, that's called zilzul b'cheftza shel mitzvah. Right? So let's say, for example, I needed a candle. Could I take my candle to the Ner Chanukah and light it? That for sure would be awesome. And that would apply to a cheftza shel mitzvah in general. However, if I want to use a cheftza shel mitzvah for another mitzvah, without detracting from the original mitzvah, that would be okay. That's not called zilzul b'mitzvah. So it's unbelievable. The Baal HaMor wants to know, can I eat my Suda Shabbos to the Ner of Chanukah? And the Baal HaMor says no. And everybody goes ballistic on this Baal HaMor, because everybody understands that Aneir Salolu Eimon Rishus L'shtavish Bem, like any other Cheftz Shel Mitzvah, I can't take it with Tzarki, because that's a Zilzul in the Cheftz Shel Mitzvah. The Baal HaMor says, you know what, Eimon Rishus L'shtavish Bem? Why? Because Aneir Salolu Kodesh Heim. Unbelievable. Says the Baal HaMor that the status of an Ner Chanukah is not the same as any Cheftz Shel Mitzvah. It's in a category of its own, and it's equal to what? Hekdesh. And he goes on, he explains why. Why did the Chachamim, when they created the Ner Chanukah, give it the status of Hekdesh? Zecher l'neis sheb'ner sheb'heichal. Because the Ner sheb'heichal was Hekdesh, and it was usher even b'shimush l'tzarech mitzvah. Because that's a different Cheftza. That's called Tashmish Kedusha, a Cheftza Shal Kedusha, as opposed to Cheftza Shal Mitzvah. So a Cheftza Shal Mitzvah would be Mutter, but a Cheftza Shal Hegdesh is Asur. If that be the case, then, and I never thought about this, maybe according to the Baal HaMor, if I enjoy the light itself, I get pleasure from seeing the light. You know, the flame is just beautiful. Might be Asur. Like in Neir Shel Heichal, because when it comes to Hegdesh, it's Hanah Nira Leinayim is Asur. But again, well, halacha we pass in that.
But we look at the Chanukiah not in order to get enjoyment out of the fact that it's lighting.
Subtle.
No, but it's like the samemanim, which we saw in the Beged. You look at it because you enjoy the Chanukiah, which is lit as a Chanukiah, it's an enjoyment like we can get a beautiful begin.
No, but I'm asking, is it a personal ano litzarki, or is it ano ruchanit? You know, am I just enjoying the mitzvah? You know, that's a very subtle... By the way, I don't know if anyone here... Yeah, there are a number of people here that come to my nida shirim, right?
Right.
So in my nida shirim, we're talking about a bedika. Now, there's a mishnah on daf tezayin in nida that addresses the following question. What happens if a husband and a wife have tashmish twice in the same night, and it's Friday night, and there's no light, and therefore they cannot check the bedika? Why? Because they don't have an Or HaNer. So Basil comes up with a gvaldige chiddush that she can make the bedika and check it the next morning when it's light. Well, you have to understand why. Okay. So somebody asked me, what happens on a Friday night of Hanukkah and there's no light, but there's an Er Hanukkah? Would she be allowed to check her bedikas aid kineged the light of an Er Hanukkah? I think it would depend on the machlokes in the Baal Amar and the other poskim. So since the Bir Halach of the Mishnah Berurah paskins against the Baal Amar, that if it's a tzarich mitzvah, you're allowed to be nene from the Ner Chanukah. It's not memela. I would say the Gemara talks about the tznuim make this bedika and they check the bedika. Reb Zera says a nisha tznuah should check the bedika. She shouldn't rely on Basil's kula, etc., etc. That's also yodav tesayim of base. So if you're doing it mishum tznius and it's a Tosefis Chasidus, then it has the status of my Noshal Mitz. I could use the Ner Chanukah. But the Baal Amar, I think, would say it's us. Because even with Tzarek Mitzvah is us. Okay. This helps me a lot because yesterday I spent half a day going to a chasid. Yeah, go ahead.
What happens in other areas in Halacha where you can't have a no, like...
Like Bas Mechol.
No, it's something they have to burn, like Truma or Avodah Zorah.
Well, a Truma is Mutav HaNo.
Or say Avodah Zorah.
Yeah, Avodah Zorah.
So you're burning Avodah Zorah, right, and you're either enjoying the fire. Can you enjoy the fire? Can you look at it?
So that depends on a Mishnah in Tmura, which I'm not sure where Avodah Zorah fits in. The Mishnah in Tmura divides up all Isuri I know into two categories. There's Nisrafim and Nikbarim. Now, if you burn Nikbarim, which is okay, Nikbarim you could burn if you like, you're not obligated to do so, but it's certainly at least as good, if not a lot better than Nikbarim, than Kvura, so then you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of the fire as it burns. But if it's Nisrafim, then you're allowed to benefit. Now, Chametz is a real sugya. Let's say I'm burning Chametz on Pesach. Okay, let's say I found Chametz on Pesach, I have to burn it, because the mitzvah of Tashbis applies even during the 7 days of Chag. Would I be allowed to put my pot of uncooked cholent, you know, on the fire from chametz that's burning? So the Gemara seems to assume that depends on a machlok shin Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein bir chametz ella sreifa." That means chametz comes under what category? Nisrafim. And Israfim is mutter. You're allowed to benefit from the Sreifa. Why? Because you're benefiting from the key of mitzvah Sreifa. The Chachamim say Ash Besoso Bechol Dover, which means that there's no special din or requirement of Sreifa. You can take it Zorko Matil Liyam, and that's a fulfillment of Tashbisa, which means that Chametz is what? Is Nikbarim, and it's not Nisrafim, and therefore it'd be asur to cook my my cholent, my Pesach cholent, it has no kidneys in it, right? If I'm an Ashkenazi, here I always say Pesach become a Sephardi, but anyway, if I'm cooking my Pesach cholent on the fire of chametz, right? So if I hold like chachamim that Ashbesosim called davar is memela, it would be asur to enjoy the benefit of the flame by cooking on this flame of chametz. All this is fine and dandy, except for one sugya that makes no sense. And that's Charcho Kodim Zmano. Do you remember that sugya, Charcho Kodim Zmano? Which basically means that if you turn chametz into ashes, then you're allowed to benefit from the ashes.
For what kind?
So what this seems to... you know, what we're going to have to do here, I mean, that's if we were learning Masechta Pesachim, we'd have to learn is what, in Isuri Anah, at what point do we say that I'm benefiting from the object that's already going up, it's already burnt, you know, that's called Charcho, and it's already burnt. Or at one point do I say, no, I'm benefiting from the object as it's being burnt. You know, you really have to analyze that. That's a sugya psach. Okay, now Rabosa, we're going to talk about Shvius. Toshma. Beged shetzovo beklipe Shvius. Yidolik. Okay, so now we have a Mishnah in Shvius, and the Mishnah tells us that if you dye a beged with klipe shvius, and again Rashi is going to tell us that klipe shvius means klipe pero shvius, correct? Not klipe etzim of shvius, because we're going to assume etzim ein shvius chala lehem, although the Gemara seems to say later on that's a machlokas, but right now we're assuming that etzim are out as far as Kedusha Shvius is concerned. So we're talking about Klipe Peros of Shvius. Then, if you violated the Isur, and you went ahead and you made a Tseva out of Klipe Peros Shvius, then the Beged itself has to be burnt. So Rashi asks the following question: why is it prohibited? No, in the case of Arla, we have a special pasuk to tell me that we can't extract the dye from Arla and enjoy the benefit of that Arla in the form of a dye. But in the case of Shvius, why is that prohibited? So Rashi says an unbelievable chiddush. Rashi says, Asur laso schora b'perusel. The Torah says in the parasha of Shvius li achla, and Chazal derived from that li'achla v'lo l'schara, that I can't use perishvias to make a business out of it. Now, who's making a business out of it? In fact, I just want to quote to you the Mishnah in Masechta Shvius. The Mishnah says in Masechta Shvius in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, v'lo yitzva, he's talking about perishvias, v'lo yitzva b'schar. What does bischar mean? Also, lasos zeva, kidei lasos me mischar. In other words, if I'm a professional dyer, and that's how I make my parnos, I'm not allowed to take peros of shvius, use their klipos in order to make a dye and sell it on the market. What does that imply, Rabosai? If I take out the word bischar, then what other word do I take out? Velo, meaning that you're allowed to be tzovea. And Rashi says, you're not allowed to be tzovea. Why? Because you're doing schorah b'peros shvius. Who's talking about schorah b'peros shvius? Did this Mishnah say that we're talking about schar? So Pella. So the Pnei Yoshua, in order to understand Rashi, he says we have to read the previous Mishnah in Shvius. That's Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis. And the Mishnah says that there are two types of ingredients. Again, we're still looking for the English word for samamonim. Somebody's going to help me and get me.
It says spices, both in art.
Oh, it says it's spices. Okay. You see, spices is not really a good word because, you know, there are samamonim that are used as spices, but we're talking about samamonim that are not designated as spices, so I don't know.
That's what it says.
What does it say in the art scroll?
Because art scroll and Koran both say spices.
Here in
this
on Gemara?
This says ingredients.
Ingredients, you see. He was very careful, Mr. Art Scroll, because he didn't want to use the word spices. Because he realizes that we're using simonimir as ingredients for a dye, to extract the dye. Okay, so we'll call it an ingredients. Okay, fine. Anyway, the Mishnah establishes that there are two categories of ingredients with regard to shvius and tzvia. The Mishnah says that there are some tzeva which is miskayim ba'aretz, and therefore ein lo biur v'ein l'dom of biur. So let's explain. Right, the mitzvah of shvius has two parts. One part is the kedusha shvius, and then there's another part called the mitzvah of what? Of biur peir shvius. with regard to the mitzvah of Bir Peiros Shviyos, that mitzvah only applies to the produce that has, that's seasonal, right? We'll call it seasonal produce. That it's kol lechayim and asod, meaning at one point, probably around this time of the year, you know, around Hanukkah time, it becomes kol lechaya min ha'aretz. So the Mishnah says, are you allowed to be tzoveya, or you're not allowed to be tzoveya b'peiros shviyos? And it depends what those ingredients are. If it's a dover shemiskayim ba'aretz, then ein lo bir. Fine, ein lo bir, which means the mitzvah bir doesn't apply because yesh lo kiyum ba'aretz, meaning it's
sure.
It's not seasonal. It's 24. It's 12 months out of a year. Meaning, there's never a point at which it's kol lechayim in aretz. You could always find these summer months. That's one category, and then there's another category of tseva, which is eino miskayim baretz and yesh lo biur. What does that have to do with us? Comes along the Pnei Yoshua and he says gevaldig chiddush, unbelievable chiddush. He says that you know why the Torah says you're not allowed to do schora with peiros shviyos is because schora is antithetical to biur. Did you ever hear such a thing? Never heard such a thing. I promise you never heard such a thing. Because nobody said it except for the Pnei Yoshua. Unbelievable. Why does the Torah say you can't do schora with peiros shviyos? Because the Torah says you can't do schora with peiros shviyos. Shviyos is a mitzvah achila. And schora undermines the mitzvah achila. You're misusing the peiros of shviyos. This is called in the fancy language nitan. Nun yud tof nun. Nitan means that the Torah tells me what the Kedusha is nitan for. Like, for example, Kedushas behema is l'mizbeach, and the Kedusha shviyos is l'achila. That's called the nitan. Everything has its nitan. Could be that certain zeisim, the nitan is shemen. There may be other things in shviyos that the nitan is machal behema, and if you have to feed it to an animal. Other things are l'adlok, and so forth and so on. Everything has its nitan. And that's how you mekayim the Kedusha shviyos, by using it for that which is it's designated for, the nitan. But if you sell it on the market, then you are undermining the nitan. You've taken the kiyum of Kedusha Shviyos and you've undermined it. That's what we thought until we saw the Pnei Yoshua. Comes along the Pnei Yoshua, he says, no, you know why the Torah says liachla v'lo l'schora? Because l'schora is antithetical to bir. What does that mean? When I sell you something commercially, then I intend to give it to you for ome ad, and you're not going to get rid of it. The mitzvah of beer is to get rid of it. Again, the machlokas is shown, whether you have to actually destroy it or just get it out of your house. Like the Ramban says, just get it out of your house. But whatever it is, if I'm selling it to you, then that act of sale, says the Pnei Yoshua, is indicative of the fact that I don't want you to have to get rid of it and throw it out of your house. I want you to have it for all posterity. Says the Pnei Yoshua, there's another category which is equivalent to schor, and it's us in peiros shviyos, and that's tzvir. Because what happens when I take peiros of arla and I use it as a dye? What's the intention? Was licked in dempula? Inherent in that action of using it as a dye, what is the intention? I don't mean the intention of the person. You know what I mean? It's permanence, right? Dye is permanent. Again, you know, with all the respect to the Tzafon and the Boris and all those other things, what do we call a borax? What were they called? It's amazing. I remember that word, borax, and you could somehow extreme it. But that's not what we do to Begadim. Right? Yosef's Ketonis Pasim was not meant to be, you know, to be de-dyed, if there's such a phrase, right? Well, yeah. So therefore it's permanent. Says the Pnei Yoshua, the permanence of dye, of dying, makes it into schora. Because what's the yisod of schora? Is to undermine biur. Memela says the Pnei Yeshua, azah, I think. The Mishnah says that if you're not doing it commercially, you're allowed to die peiros shviyos. So how does Rashi say that it's also to die with peiros shviyos? The answer is there are two categories of dyes. There's one category of dye that comes from ingredients, some of them that are miskayim ba'aretz. They ain't lahem what? Biur, the Mishnah says, if it's miskayim baretz, ain't lo biur. It's never going to be kol lechayim in haaretz. And therefore, there would be no iser of dying with peiros shviyos, because that's the nitan of these samamonim. You understand what I mean by nitan? You know, what is it singled out for? What purpose? What function? What benefit do you get from it? Nobody eats hamamono. You break your teeth on it, but you can make a good dye out of it if you know how to extract it. For that, you have to pay a professional, but it'll do a good job. Oh, if that's a nitan, then that's the key of kedusha shvius. Not for us. You're going to tell me, but if I use it as a dye, then it's permanent, it's reversible, it's not, it's antithetical to beer. The answer is, we're talking about those dyes that are lokola, lechayim, and aretz, and there is no chobis beer. Rashi, on the other hand, is talking about those samamonim that are eno miskayim v'aretz, which means it's subject to the mitzvah of beer. Says Rashi, it's also under the category of liochel of alolaskor. Unbelievable chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua. All to understand the Rashi of Kama Kufal. It changes your whole understanding of Shvi'ez. All right, let's go on. Gemara says, "Shiny Hosam the Omakra Tia Bava Yosa Tia." This already makes Shvi'ez into the exception to the rule. Rashi says quite clearly. Rashi says this. Oh, Rashi doesn't say actually. So we'll say it. Bava Yosa Tia means the object is not there. It's Chazusa Lav Milsahi. You don't enjoy the Shvius itself. But it doesn't matter. Because Bava Yosa Tia, the Torah tells you that Shvius has to be used for its Nitan. And the Nitan of Shvius in this particular case is not going to be Klipe Shvius. To use it as a dye because of the mitzvah beer, and if it's a mitzvah beer, there's an isa schora, as we discussed earlier. Kuf Aleph Omid Beis. Wow. Took us a couple of weeks, but finally we got to it. Rava Rami. Rava found two sources. One is a Mishnah, one is a Brisa, that contradict one and the other. Okay. So this all revolves around the issue of whether Klipe Arla is considered, in some sense, undermining the Shvius itself. So, Tnan, Beged Shetzava B'Klipe Orla Yidolek Alma Chazusa Mils. Now, this is very difficult. The Gemara just came to the conclusion that you cannot derive the principle of Chazusa Milsa from Klipe Orla and the Beged Yisarev. Right? This is a special halacha of Vavayaso Tia. I don't know, it sounds like Rava is back paddling a little bit. But in any event, we'll have to get back to come to grips with that issue. Reminu, I ask you a stira from another Bryce. Now, where is this Bryce? Very interesting. The Bryce is in Masechta Sukkah. Why Masechta Sukkah? The subject of this Bryce is Tumas Mess. Which Masechta in Shas is dedicated to Tumas Mess?
Yeah.
All those, right? Not Sukkah. So if you take a look, the Gemara has issues there about mechitzas and sukkah and so forth and so on that touch on the issue of what constitutes an OL and when do you set up one OL here and one OL here, and that's how the Gemara and sukkah gets into this whole discussion about tumas mess. And what's the case? The case is that you have, if you have a mess and kalim in the same OL, then the kalim become tmei, correct? But in this case, you don't have the mess itself. What you have is revius dam. You have a revius log of dam, which is the shear of kedei chayav. That's enough to keep a nefesh alive. And therefore, that kamus, that volume of dam is considered like the human life. And you've extracted this dam, that's like death. So you have like a dead body here, and that's called a revius dam. That's a doraisa law, correct? The problem is that the kalim might have a protection, it might have a way out, because the revius dam is not be'en at this point. It fell onto the ground of the bias, and it was absorbed by the eitzim of the bias, right? So it says, dam chenivla. The bias, habayis tame. The amri le habayis tar. So Rashi points out here that the word bias here is kind of a misleading word. It means the kalim in the bias. So what are the kalim in this bias tame or tar? And the answer is it all depends upon your girsa. There are two girsas in this bias. So one girsa has it that the kalim are tameim. The other girsa has it that the kalim are tahorim. The Gemara says lo pligi. There's no machlokas here. Fundamentally between the two gear souls. Why? Ha bekelim da'avu meikara, ha bekelim di'asu lebasof. In other words, if the kelim came into the house before the dam was nivla, when the dam was be'en, right, it was tangible blood, and it was a revius lug, then the kelim atmeim, and that's the first girsa in this price. But if what? If when the kelim came into the house, the dam was already nivla, so the kelim came in at a subsequent date, then tahorim. Why? Because revius dam is only considered kigufo shel bes letami ba'oel if it is be'en and it's not absorbed. Okay, that's a little bit of a tangent for us. That's not what we're interested in. Is the next part of the brisa? It says nivla biksus. If the dam was absorbed into a garment, roin. We check it out. Im miskabeses saksus. If we can extract the dam through a process of laundering this garment, viotzimen revius dam tmea, then we view the beged as if it actually has in it a revius dam. The revius dam is, well, this is a funny kind of pun, but it's alive and well. I mean, and therefore it's dead. Yeah, and it's metami. Why? Because you can extract it. But vim lav tahora. You cannot take it out. So it seems from this brisa that there's no din of chazusa milsa. In other words, I can't say that, okay, there's no way, no how I could extract the dam. Well, even in the case of a dye, there's no way, no how that I can extract the dye from the beged, and yet we wanted to say chazusa milsa according to that man de Omar. Here too, you see that the opposite, here you see the opposite is true. That if I cannot extract the dam, then even though the dam is chazusa, nevertheless lav milsa here, and therefore it's not metami the kalim. The only reason it's metami the kalim is because I can extract the dam. But if I cannot extract the dam, the Bryce assumes, then the kalim are tahorim. What happened to chazusa milsa? So Rava postulates this theory, Omrav Kahana, Mikule Reviv, Shonukam Vidam Tfusa, the Rabbana. We're not talking about dam that is vadai metame, right? What dam is vade matame? That's the dam of a mess. Let's say, for example, you extract a revius lug of dam from a live person, which we do, I think, in the case of donations. What's it called? When you donate blood? Is that what it's called? Donate? So if you want to donate blood, that blood is not matame. Everyone, you know, got to get rid of all the kayanim, right? Get them out. There's no such thing. It's only dam in a mess. Then there's something called dam tfusa. That dam is of questionable status. We don't know if it's minames or minachak, because it was dam that was extracted toch kidei as this person ever was dying. So the halacha is that midaraisa, this is one of the rare cases where we suspend the principle of sofek doraisa lechumra, but instead we say sofek doraisa lekul. And we assume, even though we have no statistical reason to assume so, that this dam was dam minachai, that it came out before he expired. Okay, I wanted to use a nicer word. So what do we do in this selfie case? And the Rabbanan came along and they created dam tfusa, and they say that we're going to treat it as dam minames, and we're going to metami the kelim. But the Rabbanan instituted, as they very often do, various restrictions and limitations. Oh, I see the dam. So one of those restrictions is that if it's nivla, then we don't apply the principle of chazusa milsa. So universally, chazusa milsa would apply to dam and it's mikame, but the exception to the rule is going to be dam tfusa, which is only midrabanan hemar ruvehemar when they said it's
tfusa.
Okay. Slichal astial hilchus chanukah.
Okay. Why
don't you say that the Gemara is not going with that at all? They don't worry about chazusa or not chazusa. The difference is, if you could extract it back from the beged, so then the beged has a din of a kli, and it is a kibbutz of the dam, and there's enough with the refuse of dam, that's metama. If you can't get it out, it's nispashik, b'chol a